cannot outrun you, that surely goodness and mercy shall run after us all the days of our life. We thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. We praise you and we honor you. Lord, there's a lot of people today dealing with a lot of stuff, a lot of sickness here, Lord, and we just lift it all up to you. We thank you that you are the healer. Lord, we pray for Kelly, Dixie's niece. Lord, just your peace to be upon her, your healing. And Lord, just Emmanuel, the shalom of God, your very presence to come and just settle on Kelly. We pray, Lord, for Dixie's friend Peggy that just needs a touch from you. Lord, we ask you to touch Peggy. We pray for Mike Travelstead, Jesus, your sustaining grace on him. Lord, we pray for Bonnie and Jerry. Lord, we ask you to sustain them, to bless them. We thank you, Lord, for the good report that Bonnie received from the doctor. And Lord, we pray for grace for her, strength for her body. Lord, we pray for Dawn, who had back surgery. Jesus, we ask your grace and your healing on Dawn in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for Pam as she cares for him and she's dealing with her own stuff. God, we just pray grace upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of Abby sharing what would have been her daddy's 92nd birthday and how he really, truly encountered you, a life transformed. And Lord, we thank you that you sought him out and you radically changed his life. And Lord, that he is now with you. And Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your spirit, Lord, being born again. And Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We pray for Eleanor, Lord. We thank you for 55 years class reunion, God, celebrating with old friends. Lord, we thank you for life. Lord, we pray for all of the issues, all of the sickness. Lord, we pray for Abby. We pray your grace, your healing on Abby in Jesus' name. We pray for all of those that are suffering, that just have sickness and a cough and sore throats. Lord, we just pray healing in Jesus' name. Pray those that are dealing with fear and anxiety. We just speak your peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you for your name. The psalmist says that those who know your name trust you. You will not abandon those who seek your face. And Lord, your name, we're going to sing about it in a minute. Your name is Emmanuel. Your name is faithful. Your name is true. Your perfect love drives away all fear. So Lord, just come and breathe on us. And what aspect of your name, Lord, do we need to remember today? Pray, Lord, you'd search us. We love you, and we praise you. Lord, we pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. Lord, we thank you for the Waldens, and I thank you, Lord, for the generosity of this church, Lord, to the Waldens and to the Steins, and Lord, how they support missions. Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, all of these tithes, these gifts and these offerings, we offer it up to you as worship. And Lord, you're worthy of it. Pray that you give us wisdom in the use of it. And Lord, give us, we just give you all honor and praise. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's sing the Gloria Patri. Supper. Does anybody need the elements? Anybody need them? Adam will pass them out if you forgot to say that before. Sermons on keys. keys to a good marriage, keys to raising godly kids. I mean, there's literally hundreds, thousands of sermons on the key to fill in the blank, whatever it is. And this morning, I am reminded of something that I spent a long time, several weeks last November, preaching on, and I just can't get away from it. And those of you that have been to the Revelation Bible study, this may sound a little bit familiar, but it's so important, and it really honestly is the key to the Christian life. And if we miss this, we miss what it means to be a Christian. And so what is that key? We're going to talk about that this morning. Father, we love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, that you're with us. And Lord, there's a lot of stuff floating around in my head. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint me, that what is in me that you want to, the word you want to deliver, God, that it would come out and come forth with clarity, with power. Pray, Lord, you did not give me a spirit of intimidation, but of power and love and sound mind. Your word says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So, Lord, I pray you'd anoint me. Anoint your word. And, Lord, I pray we would hear. And beyond hearing, God, that we would encounter you, the risen one, the one that came to give us life. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle John is a really interesting character in the Bible, and he is, Paul is one of my, outside of Jesus, King David, the Apostle Paul, and I think John are some of my favorite characters, the Lord just keeps giving me a deeper appreciation of him and what happened to him, because so many of us make Christianity something we do. You go to church, you follow the rules, you obey the Ten Commandments, and some of us miss the fact that Jesus really does love us, and he really, really wants a relationship with us. That's why he came, and that is what the whole Bible is about, is God pursuing us and wanting a relationship with us. I have sat with a lot of people as they're dying. I served as a chaplain for about a year and a half. And one of the things that I hear most as people are either in the nursing home or they're not able to do what they've done anymore is they're lamenting, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Why am I here? And when we put so much value on what we do instead of who we are, guess what happens? Because while it's not about what we do, it's about who we are, who Jesus is, and what he did for us. Yes, it's important. James writes, faith without works is dead. As we know Jesus, there needs to be an outflow in that. But for so many of us, we miss the relationship part. And only John uses a little word in a theological way in his gospel. He uses the word abide. And you read John chapter 15. You read 1 John chapter 1. It's just abide, 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 abide. And that little word, abide, means to thing. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. Remain in me. Stay in me. Make your home in me. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Is a branch anxious? Is a branch worried? Is a branch fretting? A branch of a tree is just attached. And it gets all of its nourishment. It gets everything it needs from that root. And Jesus is that root. He is that place that we come and we stay there. We abide there. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus, God in the flesh, said, you are my friends. He calls you friends. You are my friends if you do what I've commanded you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. John, in his gospel, refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I used to make fun of that. Like, wow, how incredibly arrogant for John to say, as he's writing the book, he doesn't refer to himself in first person, I, me. He refers to himself in third person as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And as I've grown in the Lord, and as I've read, John, the Apostle John, wrote more of the New Testament outside of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote the most, and then John wrote the second most. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And do you think it's any accident that this disciple whom Jesus loved, he so knew that, he was so grounded in in that it was to John that God gave the biggest revelation of Jesus that anybody has ever had? He knew who he was. As I was praying about this service today, one of the things as a preacher, I'm like, I got to keep it short. I got to keep it to the point. Lord, what is the word for your people today? I've been asking the Lord that. Lord, what is your word? Because I knew I wanted to talk about abide. I knew I wanted to talk about John. Just remind you of the beauty of abiding in Jesus, that that's the key, and staying right there, remembering who remembering what he has done, remembering his very name. Remember that he loves you and staying right there. The world right now is being ripped apart, lots of division, lots of chaos going on. And he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. How do we stay in peace? How do we not let be swayed by what's going on? We have to remember. We have to remember. And John, calling himself the Beloved, we need to get it beyond our head, down into our heart. Nancy, the Beloved One. Adam, the Beloved. Dixie, the Beloved. Mary Cruz, the Beloved of God. The Beloved One. Judy, Bruce, the Beloved of God. That is who you are. I encourage you every morning before you get out of bed, I am the Beloved of God. Say it out loud. I am the Beloved. Jesus died for me. My name is written on his hands. I'm the Beloved. I'm the Beloved. John knew that. One of my favorite images of John, if you turn. When Jesus is washing their feet and he's telling about one of you is going to betray me. If you and I were in that situation, some of us are more sensitive in social gatherings than others, but if you were in, most of us can feel tension, right? You're in a group and you can, there's tension, you can kind of sense that and feel that. In the Last Supper, it's very intimate. Jesus said, I eagerly have desired to have this Last Supper with you. And it's Passover. And the disciples really don't have any clue what Jesus is getting ready to do. And the magnitude of what he's, you know, the Passover. And he's essentially is saying, I'm the Lamb. I am the Passover. It's profound. But Jesus, before that, says one of you is going to betray me. And if that were me, I tend to be way too sensitive and stuff like that. And if Jesus had said one of you is going to betray me, I would have been like, oh no. And I would have immediately started worrying about that. Like, well, who is it? And the disciples, is it me, Lord? Is it me? Is it me? And, you know, the tension that must have felt, you know, because they've been living together. They've been hanging out together for 3 years. One of you is going to betray me. That would have messed me up. Like, I've been, oh! And I would have been worrying and fretting and trying to, I think maybe it's being the oldest in the family. I think, I don't know, but I tend to be overly responsible. Some of you are like that too. You want to make everybody happy. And, oh, 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 oh. And yet, what is John doing? What is John doing? Is he fretting? Is he worrying? Is he running around like a top? Ha! What is John doing? John is laying. They would have sat down. They didn't have chairs. They would have been sitting kind of on the floor. And John is sitting next to Jesus because he was one of the inner circle of Jesus. And what is John doing? Jesus is sitting there, and John is just sitting there, and he's just kind of has his feet out, and he's just relaxing against Jesus. Just relaxing against Jesus. And you all, when everything is going on right now, all the uncertainty, all of the fear, what about this? What about this? And we're hearing about this. And we're hearing about this. What is our posture? We need to relax. We need to take a deep breath. We need to remember who Jesus is. And we just need to recline on Jesus and rest in him and trust in him. It's in the trials. It's in the tribulation that we really find out how strong our faith is. And I am in the process of getting my muscles back, of starting to go and, you know, well, what can I do with this new body now? What can I do? I need to be slow and easy. But you can only gain strength when things get hard, when there's a little bit of resistance. As much as I hate to say it, the trials and tribulations that come, the things that God allows in our life. Doesn't cause it, but he allows things. What's he doing? Does he want to destroy us? No. Is he mean? No. The enemy is real, and he's trying to take us out. And yet, what do we need to do? It's an opportunity to build our faith muscles. Like, Lord, all hell is breaking loose, but I praise you that you are good. I praise you that your love endures forever. We go back to what we know. We remember. And I want you to get that image in your mind of John in the midst of a horrible situation, going to be betrayed by one of his best friends. John isn't freaking out. He's reclining on Jesus. He knew that he was loved. As I was praying about this service, Lord, what is the word today? The Lord's like, I want you to remind my people to abide in me, and I want you to tell them that there's more. There is more. John the Beloved, the inner circle of Jesus. He saw things that the other, Peter, James, and John, saw things that the other disciples didn't see. They saw him raise a little girl from the dead. He saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw just a glimpse of Jesus in glory. It was John, Jesus hanging on the cross, said, behold, behold your son, he said to his mother. He entrusted his mother to John. Wow. Wow. Best friend of Jesus. Knew who he was. As an old man, 50, maybe 60, 70 years after the resurrection of Jesus, I think most of the other disciples have been killed, slaughtered, martyred. John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And it says in Revelation 1 that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I love that. I was in the Spirit. Did he have a reason to be anxious? Did he have a reason to be nervous? He's an old man. He is exiled. All of his friends have been martyred. And what is John doing? Had he learned something? Yeah. He's hanging out with Jesus, staying in that place of peace. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That means abiding in him, remembering him, letting everything else go and focusing on Jesus. And it was when he was in the Spirit, he got the greatest unveiling knowledge encounter of Jesus than anybody has ever had. John the Beloved, is it any accident that this one, he was so close with Jesus, that God would give him more and a greater glimpse of who Jesus is in his glory, in his majesty? You all, there's more. There's more than what you've seen. There's more than what you've encountered. Jesus is more, this isn't good English, but he's more good. He's more holy. He's more loving, he's more gracious, he's more kind than you have yet encountered. And what do we need to be doing in these days? What do we need to do? Do we need to watch more TV? Do we need to scroll on more Facebook? Go and, is that what we need to be doing? No. We need to be abiding, remembering, getting truth. This is very trite, okay? This is very, very trite. I told this to Danny last night, and this is very trite compared to what most of you are facing right now. Some of you are facing some tough, tough stuff. But I got a cat this past March, and Clemson, I named him Clemson on purpose, merciful one. And I wanted him to be nice to my younger cat, or my older cat. And Clemson has been nothing but nice. Been a bully. He's been like, I'm like, dude, live up to your name. Like, come on. But I had him outside, brought him in one morning, and he was injured. And I thought, well, maybe he didn't get run over, but maybe he got hit by a car. And so had been watching him. But I don't know if it's Wednesday morning, Tuesday morning, he was moving real slow. He started bleeding. And I'm like, oh, no, I have to take him to the vet. And so I took him to the vet. He had a horrible abscess. And so he's getting better. But as Clemson's getting better, now my older cat is like, she's not eating. I'm like, come on, man, come on. And I was last night and just the last couple of days just been fretting about Anna, fretting about my cats and fretting. And the Spirit of God said, April just reminded me of the Sermon on the Mount. Can you add 1 hour to their lives? Is worrying going to do any good? No. Some of us, I'm afraid, have a master's or maybe even a PhD in worrying and fretting. You all, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. What do we do? What do we do? And again, that's so trite. I know it's so trite compared to what so many of you are facing. But for all of us, it's a temptation. Cancer diagnosis. Horrible things going on. Financial things. All of it. To fret, to worry. But what do we need to do? We need to lay it down. We need to sit down. And we need to remember. We need to remember. We need to remember. Not only do we need to remember, but we need to get in that place of rest and peace. Because I am 100% convinced that Jesus wants to encounter you. He wants to encounter you. If John could get more of Jesus, there's more that he wants to give each one of you. One of my favorite people, best teaching on prayer I've ever heard, was from a woman named Margaret Birkelson. And Margaret gave one of my favorite quotes on prayer that I've ever heard. She said, God does not have favorites. Doesn't have favorites, but he has intimates. People that, like Mary, make the choice to sit down, to soak in his love, to soak in his word, to lay down our worries and our frets. Let's not have a PhD in worry and anxiety anymore, okay? Let's get a PhD in love. A PhD in just focusing on Jesus and remembering who he is. We are going to take the Lord's Supper today, and my prayer for each one of us as we do this is that we will receive grace. We will soak a little bit in his love. And we will soak a little bit in his kindness and his goodness and remembering that he sees us. Some of us are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us are dealing with a lot. And Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Joshua's getting ready to go in and take the promised land. Moses is dead. And he's getting ready to go in and take Jericho. And there's a man that comes. And Joshua comes up to him. And he says, who are you with? Are you with us? Or are you with our enemy? And that man, who is actually an angel, says, I am neither. I am neither. I come and I am captain of the Lord of hosts. It's Jesus. And so many of us want Jesus to come and be on our side. We have our opinions and Jesus is on my side. No, Jesus is on my side. And Jesus says, I'm not on anybody's side. I am Lord. I want you to come to me. Come to me. And instead of trying to, I love the song Abide With Me. I like that hymn. But we need to switch that around. We're saying, Jesus, come abide with me. And Jesus is saying, no, you come and abide with me. Come and humble yourself and yield. I am here. I am here. I want you to come. So we're going to take the Lord's Supper and we're going to abide with Jesus. We're going to encounter him in it. Be with you. thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn. Say with me, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And we join with his family in all the world at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim mystery of faith. Say it with me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Where in your life do you need Jesus? Where do you need him? Do you need him in assurance? Do you need to just a reminder that he's with you? Do you need him as healer? Where do you need him? Where do you need him? Just close your eyes for just a moment and voice that in your mind, just quietly. Jesus, I need you. Fill in the blank. Lord, the key is so simple. It's to abide in you. Make our home in you. You came, you died, you came seeking that relationship. And Lord, we still want to serve you on our terms. We want you to come to us, but in truth, we need to come to you. And so, Lord, we do that today. Just say, Jesus, we need you. We need assurance. We need your healing. We need your cleansing. We need you, Jesus. As we take, Lord, these elements, we take the little wafer as a symbol of bread. Lord, as we take it, we just receive your life. We receive by faith your healing. We receive your love. Jesus, we just say we need you. Come in, Jesus, and fill us and give us life. Take and eat in Jesus' name. Lord, the disciples had no clue the magnitude of when they were attending that dinner, that you were going to be the very sacrificial lamb, that by your blood, we are healed, we are forgiven, we are cleansed. Lord, your word says they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and not loving their lives unto death. Father, we just give ourselves to you once again. We say, not my will, not our will, but your will be done. We want to serve you and love you on your terms, not on our terms. And Lord, we just receive your blood. Your word says that you forgive all of our sins and you heal all of our diseases. I pray truly, Lord, today as we take this juice as a symbol of your blood, Lord, that there would be healing in this house, healing of colds, healing of broken hearts, healing, healing, healing of cancer. Lord, we just receive your love by faith. We receive it, Lord. It's done. It's finished in you. And we just say yes and amen. And we take it in, Jesus. And we thank you for your blood. We receive it by faith. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Father, I pray we would have undivided hearts as we sing, Be Thou My Vision. I pray, Lord, that that would be our prayer. Lord, we want you to be our vision. We want to just recline as John was reclining on your breast in a very stressful situation. He just said, Lord, I trust you. I surrender to you. If I'm with Jesus, it's all going to be okay. And Lord, I pray that that would be our stance. Show us what it means to abide. Lord, at the end of our life, the end of our life, however many days that we have, Lord, may we be more about being than doing. I know it's both. But Lord, we all just need to remember of what it means to be your son, what it means to be your daughter, as we abide and rest and trust in you. Lord, we want to be intimates. You don't have favorites, but you have intimates. And Lord, draw us close. Truly, be thou our vision, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this hymn. John, Lord, I thank you that there's more. His life is a testimony that there's more. There's more that we can know about you. There's a deeper encounter, Lord, that each one of us can have. Deliver us from fear. Deliver us from worry. Deliver us from control. And Lord, I pray you would show us how, and Lord, just teach us how to abide, to live in you, to rest in you, to stay there in that place. Because, Lord, the people need Christ in us. They need what we have. And Lord, I pray we would be vessels of peace, of your healing, of your love to everyone that we come in contact with this week. Fill us with your spirit and shine through us, Lord, for your glory's sake. Amen.